503. Like said bands, you remember that Ben.
No, 303.
I don't remember that good.
They're not good.
Then why do you remember them?
Because I was in high school when they came out, and they were like, they were awful.
They came out?
Yeah.
They
came out. It's good for them.
Very progressive. Welcome to Gilmore Guys.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Demi.
I'm Kevin, and we are
the Gilmore Guys. Yeah, they're not a very good band.
Okay. What was one of their songs?
Don't trust a hoe. Never trust a...
Oh, so they're hip-hop?
They're... I would hate to call them hip-hop, but they're like pop hip-hop.
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 Okay. I accept that.
I'm sure we're going to get a lot of comments like, you don't remember 303? Anyway, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. It's been waiting for you.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys.
303, guys, I am getting very excited about our roster of guests for season 3. We're having some fan favorites come back very soon. We're having some new people. We're having some newcomers to the show and some newcomers to the show who are big Gillies. So we got a lot to look forward to. Also, I put this out on Twitter last night. Let me just cough right into the mic.
Do it.
I put it out on Twitter, the Dream Team panel. What we want, like we were thinking maybe for a finale show, if we don't do a live show for season 3, maybe like just putting together a big panel of people like... 4 guests besides us, fan favorites, maybe a new person. I don't know if they're a gilly, but we're getting some votes on that. So email in your thoughts and decide who we should have on. We're getting a lot of votes for Trolley, the eye candy of the Gilmore
the eye candy
guests.
Of this audio only podcast.
Well, when we post the pictures,
the photo.
Yeah, if you want Allie and Anthony Trolley, Allie Gertz and Anthony Trolley to get together, please tweet at them incessantly.
They'll love it. It'll make all of their interactions a lot less awkward.
Yeah, I mean, spoiler alert, they do know each other in real life, IRL, already. They don't?
No, I'm saying now.
Okay, I thought you were saying now.
Now.
Oh, Oscar season is... it's not. By the time
Oscar
this comes
season
out,
is over now.
Yeah, I can't believe the Best Picture winner... I don't know. I almost didn't see it coming, but at the same time, it makes sense.
Honestly, I can't believe that insert actor here won. That was crazy.
Me too. And then when insert actors here went on a tantrum about ISIS, I thought it was very off color, off putting, and off key.
I agree.
Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris's Bill Cosby jokes were pretty funny, though.
They were.
Anyway, let's give it up the way we always got to give it up.
To the fans.
To the fans. Because it's all about them fans. Oops, sorry, I dropped the cord. There you go. We've been doing a thing where Demi's been picking the rap, doing a thing as if it's like a big ordeal.
It is, because I've messed it up twice now already.
Oh, with the white lines where it was...
Yeah.
White lines.
We don't have to...
No, we don't. No, I'm so sorry. So are we ready to rock
I
and
think
roll?
So. Let's hope I don't mess this one up.
Okay, let's do it.
Hit it. You know Drake?
I do now. Yeah.
There's no drop. Kevin, get it to it.
5785-2794. Thank you for reviewing us. You are not a whore. You are so nice, like sugar and spice. Whore is a bad name.
Yep. Rice. Trish Lee on the mic left us a review. Her name is not Mike. If it were, she'd be throwing three-pointers. She'd be dunking on them like Mike did.
Yep.
Tina Sunny Bay left us a review. Don't know what it said, but wanna thank you regardless. You're a wizard, Carrie, or is it Kari? If it is, I'll commit Harry Carey.
Hi! Paula Deen, spelled D-E-A-N. I will say it again. Paula Deen. Thank you, Paula. Paula. Holly Green 15, thank you so much. Barb Fed, thank you so much. Also, Too Many Alex Cooks, that's a nice name. Ooh. Thank you for playing our little Too Many Cooks game.
Pug Wawa Swag, I like the combination of Pug and Chihuahua. They're like two dogs. I like dogs, so that's cool. Thanks Puppy. For reminding me Puppy. Of dogs. Oh, Flowering Rebel, you're a really cool guy. E.A. Cox, you're a really cool guy, too. Man Costa Cruz, I said that wrong, but I won't correct myself, because that would be admitting failure.
In the song, Kendall loves poop, doctor. Ooh. Can we hook it up? Can we lock her down for poop, doctor? Maybe. Stats Girl 8, thank you for being great. Megan or 27, Lil Meatball 89, and D. Dinman, you are all so fine. Scary Feathery NSYNC Fiasco. Fiasco is hard to rhyme with, but I'm gonna find a word.
Tabasco.
I don't know what it's gonna be. I think it's Tabasco. Thanks, Demi.
You nailed it.
And
my
now
turn?
You're gonna nail it. We point at each other during this.
Katie Rank Lev, that's my girl. Diane, that's my dude or my girl. Who knows? Melissa Fong, that's definitely my lady. She's Fong, she's lovely, she's crazy. She's crazy like OMG Tess. That's
OMG.
The next name on the list. She's the best, but she's not as good as Marie.
Marie,
that's
Marie,
four
Marie's. Calendars to get some pie. Go to the sky when you fly in a plane with McCain. John McCain, 2008 nominee for the president, but he lost. My friends. My friends.
My friends. My friends.
I'm glad you guys can't see the gesture we're making right now.
We're hunching over like Dracula.
Oh, he's a war hero. So thank you for all those. For those of you also have been sending us the Australian, Canadian, and the UK reviews, let's just say I have a feeling your raps are going to be coming very, very soon.
I have a feeling.
Because we're going to do it in the next episode. I don't know why we're so coy on this show all the time.
Just fun.
It's so fun. It's fun to be coy. It's fun to not be clear
it's
with
fun
your friends
to,
or
it's fun
girls
to be
you're
misleading.
Dating. Totally concur. So let's get into the episode discussion. This is episode 303.
Application anxiety.
Oh, my application. Now we're going to do something that someone was nice enough to point out to us on email, that sometimes when we get into Pop Goes the Culture, before we do the synopsis, it's a little confusing because you lack context if you haven't seen the episode in a while. And so we're going to start doing the synopsis first. And then go into pop culture. If that's not too much for you gillies to handle, it's a new season, it's a new us. Here we go. The Netflix synopsis for this episode is, after a Harvard application arrives, Rory and Lorelai seek advice. Fair. Meanwhile, yep. Lane is enamored with a boy who answers her ad for rock band members.
Okay, that's not fair, because that happens at the very end of the episode.
Very end.
She's not enamored with him yet.
Well, let's get into this discussion with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every single pop culture reference in the show and some historical ones that maybe aren't pop.
Oh, have people been complaining that that's not pop culture?
Well, I was just thinking about, I remember Tara was like, you think Mussolini is pop culture?
Yeah, dude.
It's like a fair point. I don't know why, Demi. This is the longest Pop Goes the Culture segment we've ever had. I don't know if I screwed up editing it or what, but it is... It's clocking in pretty heavy, so let's start
Wait, what's the time code on it?
2:55.
Oh, that's not that bad. I thought you were going to say like 7 minutes and 4.
It's not 7, but we've never had one over like a minute 30 or
it's like
a minute 40.
Someone's gonna, it's like the length of a song.
Yeah. Yeah. It pretty much is.
All right.
So play a song while you're listening to this. Pop Goes the Culture for episode 303, Application Anxiety.
It's a Zoltan Kamini.
Like I was holed up in the Chelsea with a needle sticking out of my arm, screaming Sid at the top of my lungs.
AC/DC, The Animals, and Aha. Footnote it as a guilty pleasure.
The Dead Kennedy share was a tip off.
Christiane Amanpour spends half of her life standing in foxholes in third world countries.
Isn't it a drag that Jello Biafra isn't singing for them anymore?
Yeah, now their frontman's that kid from The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Yeah, what's next? Urkel joining the Wu-Tang Clan?
Or maybe Malcolm in the Middle, front for the Butthole Surfer.
I've got a Hockney, a Klein. What I don't have is a Diebenkorn.
Faulkner.
Or Sylvia Plath.
Might send the wrong message.
The sticking her head in the oven thing?
Yeah, although she did make her kids a snack first. Shows a certain maternal instinct.
And we could form an all-girl band with Lane, you know, like Bananarama.
This isn't the Beatles at Shea Stadium. Nice anachronism, huh? Like they had video screens in 63.
When my application to Harvard arrived, we were watching the Brady Bunch Variety Hour.
What do they call themselves, the Brat Pack?
About 100 years ago. Darren Springsteen of Westport, Connecticut, yeah! Harvard class of 74. Ask if he has a brother named Bruce.
Yeah! Oh, and that his brother Bruce Springsteen would be happy to come and play at our next party or event.
The Accelerators, the Adolescents, the Adverts, Agent Orange, the Angelic Upstarts, the Agnostic Front, Ash.
I contend that you could draw a straight line from Yes to Jethro Tull to The Jam to Nirvana, Bim Bam Boom.
It's like with David Bowie.
Gotta have Bowie.
Johnny Bravo and SpongeBob SquarePants. And what's with Jackson Browne making the list?
Ah, see, cool people know that he's more than a mellow hippy-dippy folky, that he actually wrote some of Nico's best songs and was in fact her lover before he bored us with Dr. My Eyes. That will separate the posers from the non-posers.
Wax on, wax off.
I wanted Charlie Rose to ask the questions.
The Clash, the Kinks, etc.
Hillary Clinton.
Sounds perfect.
Chopin.
Patience became prime minister of his country.
Paderewski.
Only when you've played me the thousands of hours of C-SPAN footage you taped.
You're no Danny Gans.
A novel by Robertson Davies.
Oh, Manticore. This morning I was reading Dead Souls. I couldn't have come then.
Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
It comes right after meeting Harry Potter.
I was watching TV and that insipid Kate Hudson was talking about going to a university.
And over my dead body is Kate Hudson getting your spot.
Your usual chores, John Boy.
You did not know that Kim Deal was in the Pixies before the Breeders?
Oh, my. Matisse, love him.
You had these little Oshkosh chords.
I'm going to have to crank the Ramones if I have to make deep cuts.
Are you sure that's not just the sight of Robert Reed in the tight clown pants?
Tolstoy, Turgenev?
Gogol's my thing right now.
It was coined in Macbeth and derives from Middle English.
And when I die, I'm going to have them freeze me next to Ted Williams.
Very Kennedy-esque. We love the Kennedys.
Tom Waits.
Bunch of kids meet in an alley, they pirouette, they pull knives, it's a whole to-do. And you know, like you'd say, Farmer John or the Butcher Lazar Wolf. Right after Holmes and Yo-Yo and Hee-Haw Honeys.
I'm telling you, Luke, if we don't quick furnish these skateboarding Z-boys with a moral distraction, they're gonna turn Stars Hollow into Dogtown.
Istanbul is Constantinople, so if you've got a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul.
I think the reason this one was so long is because there's an entire dinner party based on just saying, oh, what's this? What was this? What was this?
Yeah, that's true. And then Lane's bands.
Oh, yeah.
This one.
David Bowie, Jackson Browne, Nico.
I bet we could put together Supercut that was just them making lists of things.
Yeah.
AC/DC, the blah, 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 blah. And not just a reference to something, but like, reference lists happen a lot on this show.
That would be the most frustrating supercut just to hear.
Or would it be the best? You don't know.
Probably not.
Okay.
No.
Hey, guys. You know, another title for this episode could be a title for a great Eddie Murphy movie.
Oh, no.
Because you know why?
It's 48 hours long.
No.
Is that even Eddie Murphy? I don't know.
I think it was.
Because I know exactly what you're going to say.
Because we meet Dave.
I hate you. I was joking, like, I don't know, because it's The Adventures of Pluto Nash. Do we meet Dave? Oh, no.
We meet Dave Rogowski. Finally, a man to root for on this show.
Is he a man to root for?
I think so.
Good. I mean, Team Dave then.
Do you like him? What's your first impression of him?
My first impression of him, he's very handsome because he was on the OC. And
because he was on the OC.
No, yeah, if he wasn't on the OC, he'd be ugly as hell. No, I like him. He seems like a fun dude. He seems like a really good match for Lane. And then we are recording two episodes on this day, so we've already seen 304. And I know that in 304, he like doesn't... There's nothing added to his personality that makes me think, oh, God, this guy...
Right.
But I think that one of the reasons we can like him is because he's such a tertiary character that we probably won't get enough to mention to be like, what the hell, Dave? No, we won't get enough. Like, he will never be in the foreground enough for us to. They don't give him enough things to hate him, I think.
I don't. I mean, I'm trying to think if they don't actually ever.
It's like him. Jackson. You can't hate Jackson because, like, he's never the center of the main story.
Okay. That no, but I could see how you could hate Jackson, though.
I feel like you'd have to really try, though.
Well, you would. It'd be a struggle.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But I like him.
California, here we come.
Right back.
Why wait until the lyrics?
We've been on the road, traveling in the sun, driving down the 101.
Stars Hollow, here we come, right back where we started from.
Cool.
Oh man, I was gonna sing the next verses.
Which is.
Horses grab your guns, shadow weighs a ton.
Horses grab
driving
your guns.
Driving down the 101. California, here we come. Our drummer right is Jason Schwartzman.
Is that
California?
It is. Here it goes.
Here we come.
So anytime we talk about Dave, we should have this in the background.
Get ready for an exciting three seasons.
I don't know, dude. Wait, how long do you think Dave is on the show?
Oh, no. It would bum me out to realize that he wouldn't be on the show for the rest of the show. But I'm going to say two seasons. No. The OC was 2003. Oh, my God, that's soon. One season.
Or more. Or less, I don't know. I mean, I do.
I was about to say, I think it's less now because you went more first and you hesitated.
Uh-huh.
I've been watching a lot of Sherlock. I'm picking up on clues.
I like that. That's the only way you could know how to pick up on clues. I like Dave.
Do critical thinking.
From moment one.
Yeah.
I'm Team Dave.
I am too.
So, because some of the Twitter questions were like, Dave's great, right? And I'm like, yeah.
It's a pretty leading question, but yeah.
I know, some of them are just rhetorical. Application anxiety. Oh, boy. So.
I have a lot of thoughts about the application process itself in this episode.
Okay, well, let's talk about it. Let's get into it that way.
Okay, because, so, they want to clear their mind about the application, so they go and sit down at a table, which is apparently right next to Lane Kim in the other room, just blaring music.
Yeah.
Which is, they were like, all right, it's time to do this application. Let's do it while one of your friends is here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was strange. And then I thought it was the admissions officers are assholes.
They don't show them in this episode. Oh, you're saying the panel.
The panel.
I didn't know if they were a-holes.
I thought they were just like, how rude. What don't, like, the Hillary Clinton thing, I didn't think that was that bad.
Well.
But they were like, if I have to hear one more thing about Hillary Clinton. It's like, if she means something to, like, it doesn't matter if someone talks about them a lot. I feel like they really mean something to someone. Let them talk about how important. Like, I feel like everyone writes an essay just like, one thing that is important to my life is when, I thought I wasn't going to get to go to school, but then I did, and now school is important to me. And I feel like people have to hear essays like that a lot. But if it's true, like, let people write about it. It should be the way they write about things, not what they write about.
Do you think our opinion on that is colored by the fact that, well, we went to the same school, but we went to a state school,
right,
which is probably a lot easier to get into?
Well, I mean, I applied to schools like Harvard, and I think that...
You did?
I did. Well, not exactly Harvard, but I applied to, like, Penn and stuff like that.
Well, actually, one of the Twitter Q&As...
Twitter Q&A
was Wendy.
Did he apply to?
Well, Wendy at Wendy LIY says, personal. Can you guys describe your own college application experiences?
Oh my God. This is a good personal one because my parents were crazy about college. Here's a fun fact. I applied to 21 colleges.
Holy.
I know.
Wow.
My parents, it wasn't even the kind of thing like, we need you to get in somewhere. It was like, we know you're going to get in somewhere, but we want you to have a lot of options. And it was weird because my parents really, really wanted me to do computer science. They wanted me to like have a good foundation of something where it's like, look, if he knows computer science, he's set for it. We don't have to worry about him. But like secretly, I was like, I don't care about computer science. I want to do film. And so I applied to a bunch of places under computer science. And like, there were some where I was just like, it's free application, I'll do it, but I'm going to do it as film if that's cool. And they were like, whatever. Like, I mean, apply whatever because those are free. I don't care about those. Anyway, computer science. So we like flew out to places to do interviews. Oh my gosh. And stuff. My parents were intense about this.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I went to Mizzou for an interview just because it was a scholarship thing. Like we had dinner with a bunch of other applicants and I got the scholarship, but like I didn't go to the school, so it didn't matter.
Oh, that's funny.
But, I had so many informational interviews that year of like, it was a year and a half, I guess. Cause it was like the year or the half year before the applications even started. And then the year where it did start were like intense for me because my parents were like, if I wasn't in school, they were like, all right, we need to figure out where you're going to go to school in a year or so. So I applied to all of these colleges, and then I remember, you know, it's funny, I was so obsessed with the Strokes at this time of my life that I wrote two essays about what the Strokes meant to me because they made me, there are two music videos they have.
It'd be so funny if the application advisors in this were like, if I hear another essay about the Strokes,
I would have laughed. When they were like, I was like, well, they wouldn't say Hillary Clinton, that's so weird. I was like, what are they going to say? Probably something about a rock band, but no, yeah, I wrote about the Strokes and what they like. Well, it was for UT, funny enough, that I wrote about the Strokes because I applied to UT for film second and computer science first, and I got in for my second choice, and I was ecstatic because I thought UT's a great school and I'm going to do film there. But I applied with an essay about how the Strokes had a music video that made me want to direct music videos because it was so beautiful and like the graphics of it. It was this secondary video for You Only Live Once. It's almost all CGI. It's set in space. Mm-hmm. It's weird, but it's really cool. And I admired it so much. I delivered like a presentation about it in high school. It was wow. Like a big thing for me. So I talked about that, and I don't know. It seemed like they really liked that essay, but you don't get a lot of feedback on that kind of stuff. So you just kind of have to go into choosing something that's like, this really is important to me. I know it sounds stupid, but here, let me explain why. And yeah. The application process for me was insane, but
you applied to 21 schools.
21 schools.
Do you know how many I applied to?
How many?
One.
Really?
Yep. I applied to UT, and that's it.
Nice, though. I mean, you put all your eggs in one basket, and it worked out.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is I didn't apply for a freshman. Now we're just like making small talk at
welcome
dinner.
To the college podcast. Or actually, someone Shrug Lord made a. College kids, that's even better. Someone made an alliterative chart for whenever.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you know, as long as we're giving people shout outs right now.
His name is Shrug Lord. That's a shout out.
Thank you, Shrug Lord. We saw that. Yeah, that was amazing. I think we retweeted that, right?
I have no idea.
I think
I've been off of Twitter kind of, but.
Really? Any reason?
It bums me out. There are some people that I'm friends with that are just like, there's a lot of drama. I'm just like, I don't want to do this. I love you all, but I feel like there's such cattiness to it. Catty seems weird because that seems like a sexist thing, but there's a very like
no bitterness. I think men can be catty too.
I know, but no one ever describes anyway it, there's a bitterness to it that I'm just like, I need to stay away from this for a bit. The okay. College clan,
the college, oh hmm. I don't know about the word one? The clan.
Okay, well, Struggler, you need to work on this chart.
Okay, I gotta show this to you, Danny. We haven't talked about this. I want to show it to you on air because I told them I would. So this is from Caitlin Carnes. Carnes? I'm pretty sure it's Carnes.
Speaking of alliteration.
She's a wife and mother, and she's raising a little 8-year-old right now. And she wrote in to tell us how much she like appreciates the podcast. And she says, you guys keep me sane while I wrangle a very cute but demanding 8-month-old. Did I say 8-year-old? I meant 8-month-old.
Oh, that's but at any rate, big difference.
So her and her husband made us this.
What is that?
This is a chart of every rating we've given every episode.
Oh my God.
Including the ones that the guests have. And there's like, there's a graph on here. It is insanity. It is so.
This is beautiful.
Beautiful and gorgeous.
I'm not kidding. I love that graph so much.
It's so.
Oh,
and
wow.
Like, it's just so well done. I think the husband was mostly behind the graph. That's, he's not named in the
still,
email.
Still, that's all. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, and they're like, the spreadsheet is gorgeous. Look at all these ratings. we'll tweet this out, or at least and it includes the unit that we use.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, Kevin gave 8 out of 10 fuzzy arm sleeve bands.
Oh,
or,
my gosh.
Like, oh, it's so well put together. Oh, my gosh. So shout out to Caitlin.
Thank you so much, Carnes, Caitlin
and her husband.
Carnes.
You know what's funny? Looking at this, I've only given one episode 10 out of 10.
I feel like you give a lot of episodes 10 out of 10. I don't know why that's
weird. No, I don't think so. I've only given Richard and Stars Hollow 10 out of 10. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, which is weird because I feel like I felt I didn't like that episode as much.
I know. You gave it 6 out of 10.
Oh, that's true. We can look at the chart now.
See, this is so... Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, Caitlin. Anyway.
Any of the kindest and most wonderful fans.
DC really nailed it on the head when he said, it's like the raddest group of like sweet RA people.
Yeah, yeah.
so good. So anyway, the application process. Oh, we're still in the first scene, right? 25 minutes into a podcast.
We are in the title. We got on this because we talked about applications.
Yeah.
That's how you want to be. That's the good pacing for podcasts. Let's get to the ratings.
Yeah, I give this 12 out of 9. One line that I really loved in that scene was when Lorelai was going through it beat by beat with Rory.
Yeah.
Mother, blah, 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 blah. And she says, father, ostracized. And then she laughs after it a little bit. She kind of chuckles to herself. And I feel like that sort of joke is really hard to... It's not even really a joke. I think it's a pretty naked moment.
Yeah.
It's very like, transparent, like defense mechanism. Father, ostracized. I just thought it was super well done.
Yeah.
Just wanted to point that out. So Roy's going to do a Hillary Clinton essay. I like that Dean's like, yeah, that sounds awesome. I love it.
I was thinking, Dean in this episode is so normal until the very end.
Okay, let's talk about the end then. Let's skip
well,
to there.
I mean, I feel like, first of all, let me just say that since we started in the beginning, what kind of mailman just walks inside?
Hey, Eddie, yo. I mean, it's Stars Hollow. Yeah, no one has boundaries.
That's true. Everyone's trying to set up Lorelai with someone. Why would it be weird that the mailman knows
maybe
them?
The mailman.
But, okay.
Stick
so,
with it. Never mind.
I don't even want to talk about the ending. I just want to talk about the fact that Dean, in this episode, their relationship, if you told me this episode was a season and a half ago, before Jess is even introduced, I'd be like, that seems about right. There's no conflict between them until at the very end, Dean just kind of springs it on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, whoa, weird turn.
You thought that was a weird turn? Because that was Rory's reaction too. It was like, yeah. Whoa, where's this coming from?
Right, exactly. It was out of nowhere.
Okay, I keep sounding like a Dean apologist, and I'm truly not. I'm not Team Dean.
Wait, I don't think you've ever sounded like a Dean apologist to me.
Oh, okay, well, that's good. Then I'm not. I connected with that. I connected with his idea of like, what is going to happen? Because he wasn't intense about it and emotional in the way he has like maybe 5 or 6 episodes ago. He's kicking duffel bags. He's screaming, why? Yeah. Come to my softball guy. He's like, well, what's going to happen? I mean, you're going to go to college. I'm going to go to junior college. He's laying it out in a pretty even keeled way.
He's laying it out, but it literally, like, they're having a nice moment. It doesn't seem like it's coming anywhere. And then he just goes, so what's going to happen when you leave? And then you're just like, oh, whoa, that's a really harsh way to put it. And also, it wasn't related. It was like, it's on his mind, yes, but he should have just been like, I really want to talk to you about, I don't know, I'm worried that about what's going to happen with our relationship when you leave or something. But instead, he was just kind of like, so what happens when you leave? I don't know. I feel like if you edited a supercut of every Dean and Rory moment from season 2 on, it would almost seem like a Lifetime movie with Dean becoming more and more like why? Where's Jess? What's going to happen when you leave? You're going to go to Jess?
We pointed that out, that Rory was acting like the protagonist of a Lifetime movie a couple, maybe like 10 episodes.
If they were 10 years older, Dean would have a drinking problem, I guarantee.
Well, I don't know, man. Maybe he will get one.
Oh.
We don't know.
No, he won't.
What is your prediction of the Dean storyline? What do you see his purpose being on this show from here on out?
I think they get in a fight about her leaving, and then I think they get in a fight about Jess, and I think he breaks it off. And then Jess consoles her,
mm-hmm.
and they kiss again.
Okay.
That's all
and
the prediction I've got.
Down with Dean.
And then Shane goes, but what about me? And Shane falls into the river.
Damn it, Shane.
Damn it, Shane. So Shane falls into the river, obviously. That's a no-brainer. And then Jess goes, it's like fate commanded it. And then they kiss again. and then the circle closes over their head.
Rory looks at the camera and says, I could get used to this.
Exactly. And she winks.
Did you like the part at Chilton where Paris is yelling at the teacher, and she yells at the top of her...
This is my normal voice.
Well, she yells...
This is my speaking voice. This is its natural volume.
It almost would be her natural volume if it weren't echoing.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it actually is. We talked a little bit about the admissions advisor's little panel that Paris wanted to be Charlie Rose. My favorite line from that is, every brain dead bent in a skirt would be writing about Hillary.
Yeah, I thought that was so pointed for her to say, like, in with admissions officers.
They might as well have been saying, I mean, anyone named Roy Gilmore just really doesn't have a shot.
Yeah.
Like, and her face was so funny. Like, Roy's was just like, I'm doing everything wrong.
Her eyes go so wide. And Elizabeth...
More so than usual.
I should tweet at her about this, but I kept watching her jaw because she kept mentioning that thing about her jaw.
I didn't notice it.
I think she just has a very tiny, contained jaw.
Okay.
Because I was watching her face and I was watching Lauren Graham's face to see if there was a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren Graham's face, the only difference is that her mouth just moves way like it's normal. And then not to say that Rory's isn't, but her face, her mouth is so much tinier that it's almost just like her jaw is just contained. I think it just doesn't have like as wide of an axis to move on or something.
That's funny. So it's not that she's locking it. It's just like there's nowhere to go.
Yeah, it's just a tiny jaw.
Well, we'll continue talking about this and
Keep talking about the jaw corner.
Yeah, well, the segment's called Say Nah to the Jaw.
Say Nah to the Jaw.
Wait,
was Alexis Bledel in Jawbreaker? No.
No. That was before her time, I believe.
Was it? Oh, way. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Rose McGowan. Anyway.
Yeah, that was like mid-90s, right?
Yeah.
They go to Emily's. Emily's going on about why Harvard is so important.
I thought it was so funny that Emily didn't even quite... Like, she's almost used to Lorelai's, like, jokes by now that she just talks right over
them. Yeah, she just steamrolls. She's not... She doesn't
like, they're going to a rumble. It's like, what's a rumble? It's like, anyway,
no,
the,
I'm
the
not.
Harvard. Yeah. No, I'm not.
No, she doesn't even have the wherewithal to say...
Lorelai, for God's sake, be quiet.
Exactly. She just keeps, she goes right past it.
And one of the Facebook questions was from Steph Galvin. She says, what was Emily expecting Lorelai to do with all the information she gave her about Harvard? Was she only telling her that to freak her out? Maybe.
That's
kind of.
If you tell someone that they don't, like, the admissions officers don't look at them, like, what do you do with that information?
Oh, okay.
Oh, I guess that we should... not work on the application anymore. Also, it's weird. It didn't seem like Lorelai cared at all when Emily was saying it. So when she goes into the other room and freaks out, I was like, where's this coming from? You didn't care.
I know, they go into the drama den. That's what we got to call Richard's study.
The drama den.
It's
like
the
that.
The drama den, because only big dramatic things happen. Although they were playing it for comedy.
I saw the coolest thing. We should hang this up in the studio. Someone made a TV floor plan of the Gilmore house. And I think there's one of Emily's house, too.
Okay.
And I would love... It's just like, I don't know, it's such a cool thing that I feel like I would have in... Like, instead of having a poster of Gilmore Girls in my house, I would have that. People would ask about it, and I'd just be like, oh, this is the floor plan of the Gilmore household. And I'd be like, ooh, fancy.
You don't even know.
It's cool.
shout out to Iggy Azalea and Papa John's.
I didn't even hear what you said before, so that came out of nowhere.
Oh, I said... You said fancy, and I said you don't even know.
Yeah.
A reference, if you will.
If you will.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Let's talk about Luke and Taylor. Let's talk about the return of Tom. Tom, the construction worker, not doing construction.
What?
But just chilling. He was at Luke's. Remember, he was like, Luke was like, hey, Tom, how's it going?
I'm thinking of Bootsy. Sorry. Yeah, Tom, the construction worker. Was he the guy who was like, man, that's never happened before?
No. Tom's that's like, hey, you want wrenches? We got wrenches. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the one that's super short and hilarious.
Right.
The one for Rory's construction day or whatever. And return Tom, so that's great. Then we get the parade of children and Kirk asking for esoteric ice cream.
Chocolate phosphate. Sometimes I want to go to phosphate.
Egg creams.
I laughed so hard at the egg cream line because I was like, is this a commercial for like a soda shop in the 50s? And then that's exactly what it was.
That's 100% what it was. And I love that this returns to, Luke returns to his fascination with people going to hell when he says that little kid.
And remember, if you lie, you'll go to hell.
To hell with all of you.
To hell with all of you. He bends so quickly at the town hall meeting when Lorelai is just like, we like ice cream. He's like, fine, but you're going to pay a lot.
Big damn it, Taylor moment. And then he goes to confront him at the market.
That scene in the market is probably the best Luke Taylor scene because he just goes off the rails with saying what he's going to do. I'm going to open what does he say? He's going to open a skateboard and pop bottle shop.
So good. Yeah, they're really settling into their dynamic very well.
And I'm going to teach a class on street slaloming.
By the way, does anyone...
Oh my God, the way that you just looked around was like we have 50 people in here.
By the way, yeah, I looked around the room. I just kind of looked up.
Quick question for the audience.
I broke eye contact with Demi. But does anyone, if anyone knows a way to get in touch with Michael Winters, who plays Taylor on the show, please let us know. We'd love to have him on.
Apparently, he also played a doctor on Friends.
Yes.
Just a random fact.
Cool. And that's been Random Facts.
Random Facts.
And then that scene with Taylor and Luke is the one where Luke ends the conversation. Someone says, well, that's not very funny.
Well, I'm not in a very funny mood.
Not in a very funny mood.
La, 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 la. Like, it's all at that same...
That's a step away from his Jimmy Stewart. Well, I'm not in a very funny mood.
Well, I'm not in a very funny mood.
He goes big.
I'm Mr. Smith, and I'm going to Washington.
And then he does go home. Damn it, Taylor, you old building alone.
I can't wait to see what he does with that building.
Oh, and you will see.
I'm sure.
It's going to be fun.
I can't imagine the soda shop stays for very long.
Okay, so someone pointed out on Twitter a long time ago that Dave Rogowski, Adam Brody, kind of sounds like friend of the show Ben Seaman. Can't you hear it?
No.
You don't at all?
I don't know. I didn't think that at all. I'll think about it.
When Ben comes back,
okay,
you'll think about it a lot, but I think that's pretty apt. Then,
just, when he's on, we should just tell people it's Adam Brody. That would be awful.
Welcome to the show, Adam. That'd be amazing.
He'll just be like, what? No, you mean Ben?
And then, of course, dude, it happens. We go to the Springsteen's house.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
I wish Courtney Cox were her guest, or our guest today. Because she dances on stage.
Hey, welcome to Bruce Boys. This is Kevin.
I'm Jimmy.
I get up in the evening.
I did not think you were going to sing.
And I ain't got nothing to say.
By the way, I hate the way this song sounds. The arrangement of it now is so good because they, like, took out all the synths, but this sounds so garbage to me. It sounds so soft. Anyway, we'll talk about it in the next episode. But Darren Springsteen comes back.
I went to drinks with a few friends yesterday, and some other friends showed up from my improv class.
Mm-hmm.
And
humble brag.
That's not a brag at
all. I know.
And then I don't know what happened, but we were talking about Bruce Springsteen, and someone like perked up and just went like, oh my god, I love Bruce Springsteen. And my friend Miel was like, oh, you should meet Demi's friend Kevin. So now I'm
how does she know
that you like Springsteen?
Did we talk about it a bunch, me and her?
Probably.
I guess
it's your
so.
Thing, dude. Everyone knows.
It's my one thing I have.
What's Kevin's last name? I don't know, but I know he loves Bruce Springsteen.
I love Darren Springsteen's voice. So that actor is a guy, I think I've wrote his name down. Oh, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it?
Bruce Springsteen.
No, but you know what? He played I remember him, that actor. He's a great actor. He played the Secretary of State for Public Affairs, Bryce Lilly, on The West Wing back in season 4, I want to say. So maybe after this. But he just has one of those voices that's very of a different time. And by the way, he's definitely the coolest person in his whole family.
I was just going to say that. The rest of his family is like...
The rest of his family is kind of a nightmare. Yeah.
They're the worst. The scene where they're like, very good, Rory. Yes, very good, Rory. Yes, very good, Rory.
Oh,
I was like,
boy.
I would never want to be in this household.
And that brother and sister,
they're incestuous.
They're definitely... Bonus.
For sure. Lorelai called it, and at first I was like, pretty unfunny joke, but I was like,
Yeah, I know. I'm glad they let Lorelai make a very flippant incest joke
right?
on a WB show. I thought that was bold.
WB is progressive. They also did a bunch of gay jokes.
Did they in this episode?
No.
Oh, you're saying in past episodes.
Yeah.
The one daughter, I don't know. What do you think of this as a character choice? Because they're at the dinner table... Or the lunch table, rather. And they're doing the nightmare trivia round. Very good.
What a weird thing to do when you have guests, by the way. I feel like if no one's there, whatever, if that's your thing. But to do that when you have guests who are like there to talk about their school, I don't know.
Well, maybe it's their way of like an invitation. I don't know. Maybe that's how they bond. It's like their version of catchphrase.
Maybe.
I don't know. But... Then she says, oh, what about your other daughter? Because they said they have 3 or something. And the looks on Darren and his wife's face is like, like no one's ever asked them that before in their entire lives.
Right.
Like, what? Where is she? Just say, oh, you know, she's following her own path, which they do eventually. But they ask about her like she's like a child molester.
They really, like, she says something that, oh, you thought I was housed up in a mental institution. Like, that's exactly what I thought. I thought... We're not going to see her until they see a photo of her. And it's like, yeah, she got really into something bad and now she's in a hospital. It's like, oh, like, I don't know. But she was like, no, she just didn't want to go to school.
And what do you think of the choice to have her there and have her be kind of the counterbalance? Rory goes up to her room. She's playing Tom Waits. She's getting into a bunny costume, going to a furry convention or something.
A child birthday party.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah.
And she demonstrates like, okay, you're on the conveyor belt, blah, 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 da, da, da. And it's supposed to be like kind of a warning, I guess. I don't know.
I didn't think it was a warning.
What is the function of that? And what is the value of having that scene in this episode?
I don't know, because I thought that they were trying to portray it like, look, the Springsteens are very successful, but they're also very strange. Their daughter is not successful at all, but she seems to be normal.
Happy?
Yeah, she seems to be happy. Although I will say, it's a weird choice putting her in a bunny suit, because it's almost like, look how sad it is that she didn't go to college, even though she's happy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the balance is there. You think it would be like, yeah, I'm working, I'm doing fine though, but like, do something that's less almost showy, as if to be like, look at how embarrassing she has to be. Though.
Flamboyantly, yeah. Kind of a lower class, yeah.
Right. It's like, I know that they wanted to present a stark contrast, but it seems weird that they went with such a stark contrast that is like, this is something she should be ashamed of, almost. Although maybe she's not ashamed of it. Maybe that wasn't the point at all, and I'm...
Well, she wasn't ashamed of it when she was talking about it. She's like, it's good tips, it's blah, 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 right. blah. And so it's interesting just kind of thinking about, like, taking the macro lens to it. Again, what the Paladinos are kind of saying about class in general, because there's this weird tension where rich people are not demonized, but they're antagonized for sure on this show.
Yeah.
And just like upper class, even though like it's a show that deals a lot with it, there's a weird tension in that. And I'm trying to figure out what they're saying with this and what they're really getting after with, because Rory's gonna, like, she's going to college, right? Like, it's gonna happen. So it's not like, spoiler alert, she doesn't drop out of freaking the educational system forever. But I don't know. Or maybe it's just like a little slice of life scene and just seeing how the other half lives and like, okay, but no, I'm still going to college. I guess you could boil it down to the way she hugs Lorelai. She talks to her, right?
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, thank you for not putting me on the conveyor belt.
I think it's all, maybe it's about this is how she is because her parents are like at odds with her.
Okay.
And like, look at how different they are and how there's no connection even between the families, mm-hmm. even though like they still live in the same house, but it's like, look at how different they are because of the disparity of what they wanted for the daughter, and look at how close they are because she just wants her to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that was the important part of the scene, because she was like, then you're very lucky, when she said the thing about her parents, because she wants to do that.
And then they leave the Springsteen town.
Can you believe that Lorelai doesn't even mention the bunny suit?
I can believe it. I can believe that she doesn't mention it. Not yet, dude.
Look, I don't even know the words.
It's born down in a dead man's town.
Born down in a dead man's town.
The first kick I took is when I hit the ground.
Ooh.
End up like a dog that's been beat too much.
Whoa.
So you spent half your... This is what the Bruce Voice podcast would be. It would just be me slowly, methodically saying words over the actual lyrics that Bruce is singing.
Born
just kidding.
In the USA.
This song is depressing, by the way.
Oh, super.
Yeah. Anyway, just a little taste of the podcast coming in 2017.
Bruce Boys.
Bruce Boys. No, Demi's not going to do it with me. He'll be
Are you talking
guest,
Bruce 2 to me?
You talking Bruce 2 to me? And then, okay, is this kind of, I'm looking through my notes, this episode's kind of thin in terms of things going on, isn't it?
I didn't even mention that when we were talking about Luke and Taylor, the best part to their conflict is how, besides that entire scene in the market, is how it starts when you see...
Oh, Taylor taking pictures.
Yeah, Luke's face is just like he is staring at a child getting beaten in the street. I don't know how to describe it. He's just like, he's got this look on his face that's like the sad clown or something. Just like, I can make everybody laugh, but I can't make myself. It's just this weird scrunched up face. Go back and look at it. It's the funniest thing. Because it's also set to this music like, what's going on out there? It's Marlon Brando. It's Marlon Brando's face.
Taylor, I could have been a contender.
I own that shop. Why are you taking pictures of my shop?
Taylor's little like jaunt he does like away from Luke's window, or like he's taking pictures of like children or
yeah,
in the
exactly.
street or something. So I thought that was really funny and really well played. And then the town meeting where Taylor pitches the soda shop, the unveiling of the diorama. Luke going into full, you're going to need a hospital, Taylor, mode. And there isn't really, what is Luke's motivation at this point?
At the town meeting?
Like, why is it that, is he just, like, adverse to change? Is that what it comes down
to? He's super adverse to change, and he's also just hates Taylor.
Taylor succeeding and all.
Yeah.
But it's like, if it doesn't bug him, and if it, like, it's good business, if it doesn't affect what he's doing.
I think, I don't know. Part of me is just like, what's the point of a soda shop? Because he also, I think it does affect him because he owns the building. And if he wants to do, even if he doesn't want to do anything with it, the fact that
so
someone,
he does still in the building. He never sold right. it back, which so, I found interesting.
That is very strange that he didn't and also didn't do anything with it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's funny because if Taylor takes over that building, then he has to work with Taylor all the time. And also he has to almost be responsible for whatever's going on there. And maybe he doesn't want to do that right now. And maybe he doesn't want the idea of someone else deciding what he has to be responsible for.
True. Okay, so that's a fair point.
Yeah, but
who are those ladies sitting to the left of Taylor at the meeting? Because you got Miss Patty on the right, and then there was like two ladies, or it might have been an old lady.
Did they say anything?
No. And they never do. They're probably just in the show.
I don't know. That's weird. They probably just show up for the town meetings and leave because the mayor never shows up.
Maybe Taylor has a harem. I know. The mayor's gone.
Oh, Taylor
forever.
Would definitely have a harem because that's...
Now take a peek.
It's Taylor's wife or something.
His wife. Spoiler, they never refer to his marital status on the show. To my knowledge.
I can't imagine that Taylor is single.
But they never talk about him being married.
I know.
So he might be. I think he
Maybe
might be
married
a single
to the
man.
Cardigan.
Oh, which, by the way, let's get into the fashion report real quick.
Fashion.
His cardigan is different in this episode. It's darker. It was more of a tan color, the classic tan cardigan.
Maybe he left it out in the sun for too long.
Yeah, that's a good explanation. I'm just too ensconced in media and stuff. But did Darren Springsteen kind of dress like Scott Aukerman?
He dressed exactly like Scott Aukerman.
That's what I thought.
I wanted so much for him to say, "Welcome to the household."
Is that a Scott Aukerman?
Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. He does that all the time.
Welcome to I don't know if he does.
He does that or welcome to Comedy Bang Bang.
There, that I hear that a lot.
Welcome
more.
To Springsteen household.
Yeah, so he's dressed such like a Scotty Ox.
Now you say you want to go to Harvard. Is that a I don't
that was kind of good. That's pretty good though that you were onto something. I know Scott Aukerman impressions are tough.
They are.
I love Lane's Trust God shirt. We should have a lot of them manufactured. When she takes it off and goes back to her
oh
house,
yeah the Trust God yeah. shirt. I just love she's like it's my life.
Yeah.
Like no explanation. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Dave's gonna roll with it. Paris's collared shirt. When she's on the phone with Rory being like...
Which is a really funny scene because it came out of nowhere and then they dropped it. It's just like, here's a throwaway joke that we have to call someone in for.
That she... Yeah, and it's funny because Rory does hang up on her like mid-sentence. But I was digging on it. It was kind of an Annie Hall thing.
It was another one of those scenes that was out of nowhere because it didn't seem like it was real. Like when she was on stage, it didn't seem like it was a thought that she even had. And I feel like Paris is very bad at keeping in her emotion of being like, what? I'm not worried right now.
Oh, interesting. So if you don't see the character processing like Lorelai does or doesn't in this episode with Emily, she doesn't seem to be freaked out. And Paris doesn't seem to be freaked out about college applications.
And then the next scene, it's like, they might as well have just said Paris, like Geller.
Yeah.
I forgot her last name for a second.
Damn it, Paris.
Damn it, Paris.
And then I don't like Lorelai's leather jacket. And I'm not into her black dress with the flowers on it? It was like flowers and butterflies.
Not just with the flowers on it.
Yeah. Anyway.
There's a lot of floral print in this show. Sometimes it's weird. Sometimes it's cool.
What was Dave wearing? I forget.
He was wearing... It was like a sweater over a collared shirt. And then he had his like bag.
Into it.
Yeah.
I'm into it. All right,
it's
let's
very Seth...
Rogan.
No.
Seth, Myers.
Seth Cohen.
Green. Oh, okay. So, yeah. Who's that?
From the OC.
I don't know what that is. That's been the fashion report.
Fashion. You can't make me laugh before the end of the fashion report.
I'll refrain from it. But speaking back to Dave, so he meets, this is their first meet. It's not really a meet cute because
Hey, I read your ad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is a.
It's a cute meat, though.
It's a cute meat, but it's not a meat cute.
Yeah.
And usually, because he starts talking about, like, oh, you gotta listen to this song, blah, blah, blah. And he pulls out his whatever it is, Walkman.
His Grado headphones. And
well, that's what I was gonna say is like the kind of tech babble he uses. Usually on shows, like, I feel like they just like make stuff up.
Of course.
Like, well, it's got a 3DPI surround sound, 6-channel, la, 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 la.
3DPI in 2003? Come on, Kevin.
Or whatever. You understand.
Yeah.
But, and this, everything he was saying actually made sense.
Yeah.
Like, those are Grado 125s that he was holding.
Yeah, those are real headphones.
Yeah, those are the actual headphones.
Although, is a portable amp, like headphone amp like that, a real?
Yeah, that's real. And it's spectacular. It's real. And it's
Kevin just pulled out a headphone app. He's about to go into an ad for Panasonic.
Hi, I'm Kevin Porter. But okay, so like we were saying before about Dean's talk about the future, I'm kind of on his side about it. Like, just, it's time to talk. It's time to get real.
Here's the thing. I think it's a good talk to have. I think the way he approached it is just weird.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It is funny, like, both Lorelai and Rory forgot that she was going to college. Because Jackson's like, oh, yeah, I'm looking for somewhere to put all my tools. Which, how many tools must you have?
How many tools does he have? Why would he want to put them in someone else's house? Why not just get a storage space for them?
Yeah.
And also, what kind of tools are they like, I got to keep them somewhere and they can't be in my house? When he said tools, I thought he was going to, like, the idea that he has to have a room for them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, oh, I have like a giant work wheel and like a spinning needle or something big. Just like, my dad left me a giant army bayonet and a cannon.
Bayonet.
He left me all his Civil War tools.
And because then that's when Lorelai's like, yeah, her room, and starts staring off in the distance.
Right.
And then the next scene's kind of nice. Darren calls. He has some encouraging words.
I'm gonna tell the admissions officers everything.
Hang on. I said that wrong. Darren calls, and he has encouraging words. And
Darren Springsteen.
Yeah.
American champion.
American hero. And then Lorelai and Rory blow off all their own plans. Well, the school, the paper stuff could wait until Monday. Well, the in stuff, the checks could wait until, what did she say? Like, is she depriving people of a pay week by hanging out with their daughter?
Probably.
Because she's like, oh, the checks can wait. Which I believe the school paper can wait.
Oh, I don't think Michelle's in any financial trouble. We'll pay him next week.
Cut to Michelle eating beans straight out of the can.
Mama, I cannot come to visit you today. I've not been paid in a whole week. I know.
Did Michelle have a scene?
No, he didn't.
He didn't have any scenes?
No. Maybe Yannick Truesdell didn't get paid that week either. Did you notice what they made for dinner at the Springsteen house?
Was it tossed salad and scrambled eggs?
No, it was some nice chicken. I hope you like chicken, he said.
Oh, yes. I thought about soundboarding out, but I really didn't want to beat...
Nice chicken.
I didn't want to beat that joke to death, because that's not what we do on this show.
No.
Nice chicken.
Probably our number one soundboard of
all
time.
Nice chicken, for sure. That clown pillow is back.
Oh,
and
no.
It's staring me in the face.
The Max Medeznuts tribute pillow.
The Max Medeznuts tribute pillow.
I wanted to be a clown. He did.
That's Max Medeznuts as one of the serial killers from the Green Mile.
I wanted to be a clown.
I wanted to be a clown.
You know.
Or a sling blade.
Troubadour's back in the last scene. Troubadour's gotten some not kind words on this show.
I looked up that song because I thought it was a cover. It's an original song.
By Grant Lee Phillips?
Mm-hmm. And was it written for the show, you think? Probably not, because they don't play it all, but it's definitely an original song by Grant
Lee Phillips. I don't think it was, no. Not for the show.
Right. Might have been the first time people heard it, but...
Right. So, is there anything else to cover? Anything we missed?
Okay, Lane, I'm realizing a lot of the times that people go on tangents in the show, they talk in a way that if they were talking to anyone outside of this town, they would just be like, I get it. They would cut them off. Because they like Lane's thing where she's listing all of these bands, she not only lists the bands, but then says like a quip about it afterwards. And that quip is followed up by another quip. And she's like, I would have cut you off at three separate moments. I'm sorry. Not to be rude, but just to be like, oh, this is how conversations come. Like, you're saying a thing, and I get the joke is that it's going to be long. So I'm going to cut you off as a joke. But they were just like, no, I want to hear this out. Like,
let's hear her out, guys. Right.
Look, it's in the script. She'll say the full thing because we wrote a long thing. Then she'll say another thing. Then she'll say another thing. Mm-hmm. And then it's my turn to say a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we did graze over?
What's that?
Babette's scene in the town hall meeting where they reveal...
The horses!
The horse is so big. That man could walk right under the horse.
Where's Maury?
I don't know. Probably sick. In a fine way.
Yeah.
In a cold way.
Yeah, he's got the fever, baby.
He's got the jazz blues.
Let's rate the episode.
Let's rate the episode.
I enjoyed it. It was solid. It didn't... It was like half filler. It was enjoyable filler. It was enjoyable filler, but it didn't seem to progress the momentum of any relationship drama. It progressed the momentum of Lorelai and Rory's relationship and realizing that their time of living together is coming to a close.
Right.
If she's going to college, which she is. So it was good for that and just kind of like playing it real for that and grounding it. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 furry rabbit suits.
I was going to go furry carrots.
Really?
Yeah. It's funny that you called it filler because I feel like it wasn't filler. I feel like the plot of College Applications are a thing that we were going to get to eventually. Like, in my head, there was no doubt that we would get... Although it is weird that it isn't just, like, they have the delivering of it. Like, that was a big moment. I would think they'd open up an episode and be talking about it already. But I think that maybe the plot of going to talk to someone about it would be kind of filler. Like, you think that'd be one moment of an episode instead mm-hmm. of, like, the climax of an episode. But I didn't think that... I think it's leading somewhere. And I think that the strongest part about this episode is that it's funny. I think it's really funny. The mm-hmm. Taylor stuff. Even the dinner, like, is it... I keep saying dinner, but it's, like... in the middle of the day, the lunch that they have with the Springsteens is a very funny scene because of how weird the family is. And I think that that's the joke of it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we're supposed to be like, this family's so smart. We're supposed to be like, they're brilliant, but very strange.
Bunch of weirdos.
Yeah. And then the Taylor stuff, even the town hall meeting, I think it's a very funny episode.
That was a great town hall meeting.
It really was. Yeah. The horse stuff, and even just Jackson leaning in really far and just going, that's me with the vegetables.
Yeah, that's really cute.
Kirk being like, I didn't have any of the fancy sheets, tablecloth, so I just put a sheet over it.
Yeah,
Kirk's delivery, by the way.
It's pretty perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's
for
good.
A character. It's, yeah. Kirk is a unique character, and Sean Gunn's delivery for Kirk is perfect.
Yeah.
But very funny episode. I think that's the strongest part of it. The plot is sort of thin, but I think it's important. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 large horses.
Fair enough. Oh, one thing I wanted to mention.
They enlarge horses, don't they?
What's that?
I was thinking about horses and I was like, that's a joke.
Oh, that's a reference, right?
Yep.
Well, you know, it's funny. Episode 307. Gilmore's, don't
that's
they?
That's what it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, I've seen that title somewhere.
Yeah. That's the big one. Guys, our guest for 307, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah. It will be.
No, I just mean for three. I will tease this out. And maybe they'll drop out. And I'm not going to say...
Right, let's not say it because they might drop
out. Her or his name. But if the guest that we have for 307 shows up, it's going to be big.
Yeah,
it's going to be a momentous occasion for this show.
Some people wait a lifetime for a moment like this.
For a moment like this. You know what I think of every time I hear a moment like this? I think of... Rachel Dratch doing a Saddam Hussein impression, singing for a moment like this on Weekend Update, like 14 years ago.
I don't remember that at all. But
it was just
so
like
funny.
A little clip. It's not famous at all. I just remember it, and I haven't seen it since it aired.
I think of one of the Chappelle Show Lost season episodes where he just got revenge on someone and starts singing for a moment, like, and dances around them. Or I think of From Justin to Kelly.
From J to K. Ooh, Gilmore Guys Movie Club. That'd be a good one.
Wait, is someone from Gilmore Girls in that movie?
No, I just want to watch it with you.
Let's do it.
the one thing I wanted to cover
Trolley before
we go. Trolley
and I are doing something fun. This is an off-podcast discussion, but Trolley and I are doing something fun movie club related that I'll talk to you about.
Oh, yeah, maybe that'll be a Gilmore Guys bonus episode.
Bonus up.
In the last Pop Goes the Culture reference, she says, Istanbul is not Constantinople, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then that song is used very prominently in Bunheads.
Really?
In the first season.
The They Might Be Giants song.
Yeah, the They Might Be Giants song. They, and I don't want to say pivotal, but it's a big moment for the show. Hmm. And it's one of my favorite moments. And that was the moment where everyone was like, oh, this is a badass show. It's really good. So look forward to that in a year.
Bunheads. I can't wait to watch the show in a year.
Hey, some people wait a lifetime. So let's do Where You Tweet, I Will Follow.
Mm-hmm.
Or should it be Where We Tweet, You Will Follow?
That almost sounds demanding.
Let's do that then.
No.
You can follow me at Kevin T. Porter on Instagram and Twitter.
You can find me in the club, Bottles Full of Bub. Mommy, I got that X if you're into feeling love. I'm into having sex. I'm not into making hugs.
I look hot.
So come give me a hug if you're into getting loved.
Lorelai, for God's sake, be quiet.
Okay. I'm Electro Lemon on Twitter and Instagram.
Electro Lemon.
Well, you can follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show, Instagram at Gilmore Guys Show, email us. GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. We're also on SoundCloud. And, oh yeah, email us for our email episodes. We're going to put one out pretty quick here, pretty soon. And also leave us voicemails and messages. And then also for the call-in show, you can call us at 772-934-4559. And that's
772-WE-GILLY.
Oh, yeah. So that's it for this episode. We did it. We crushed
it. So now we got to do it.
So now we gotta do it.
You're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train.
Kevin Standing.
I am.
I will follow anywhere.
Isn't gonna work in
now.
Audio.
He's on the chair. If you leave, I'm videotaping this for the internet. Oh, oh, oh. Where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. Now he's neat. His knees are in the chair in a weird way.
Where you lead.
Why are you sticking your butt out like that?
Well, because so I can still get to the mic.
Okay, that makes sense.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I like that song.